What if every employee and guest were treated as a lady or gentleman? This simple yet revolutionary question transformed the Ritz-Carlton from an emerging luxury brand into the gold standard of global hospitality under Horst Schoese's leadership. While most hotels settled for adequacy, Schoese pursued excellence, leading Ritz-Carlton to become the only hotel company to win the prestigious Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award twice. His approach transcended hospitality, influencing organizations from Chick-fil-A to healthcare institutions, treating service not as a department, but as a mindset permeating every level of an organization. Excellence isn't accidental. It's intentional, systematic, and begins with understanding what truly matters to those we serve. Most leaders think they understand customer desires, but rely on dangerous shortcuts, personal anecdotes, or outdated assumptions rather than systematic research. When Ritz-Carlton conducted extensive studies, we discovered guests didn't want to feel at home. They desired to feel completely cared for without worry. This insight birthed our policy empowering every employee to spend up to $2,000 to resolve guest issues immediately. When hotel owners questioned this figure, I reminded them that a business traveler's lifetime value exceeds $100,000, acknowledging customers' deepest expectations, not extravagance. Customer preferences constantly evolve. When we introduced electronic key cards in the 1990s, guests initially resisted until they gradually embraced the new technology. The challenge multiplies when organizations must please multiple audiences, like healthcare providers balancing patient and insurance requirements. Yet, understanding what matters most to those we serve remains essential. Though business leaders acknowledge customer service's importance, few truly understand what it entails. Service begins at first contact, not after complaints, and consists of three essential steps. First, offer a great welcome. Acknowledge customers within 10 feet with genuine warmth, making them feel they belong. Our J.D. Power research showed that when a customer's first four contacts go well, virtually no complaints follow. Second, comply with customer wishes by truly listening and addressing their needs. Third, say a sincere goodbye, expressing gratitude for their business. Service extends throughout the organization. Everyone must understand their internal customers and how their work affects the end customer. I train staff to speak with elegance, saying, "Good morning, sir," rather than "Hi," responding with "Certainly, my pleasure," instead of "Okay." When service problems arise, finding the root cause is essential. At Ritz-Carlton Buckhead, slow room service was our top complaint, despite our 30-minute guarantee. Investigation revealed housemen were blocking elevators while retrieving linens because we had only two sets per bed instead of three, a budget cut I had made. Purchasing that third set reduced complaints by 70%. Serving customers successfully requires maintaining a positive mindset despite frustrations. While 2% of customers, the jerk factor, may be impossible to please, this doesn't justify poor service. The four supreme objectives for any organization are keep existing customers, acquire new ones, maximize customer spending without compromising retention, and continuously improve efficiency. For truly problematic customers, creative solutions work best. At Ritz-Carlton, I maintain sole authority to evict guests. In one case involving a guest who harassed women and complained incessantly, we arranged transfer to another hotel. When he threatened legal action, I noted the harassment allegations would be presented in court. With proper commitment, we can satisfy over 98% of customers. True leaders reject excuses and innovate solutions where managers merely offer explanations. When an organization embraces these objectives, remarkable service follows. At our Cancun hotel, when a newlywed lost his wedding ring in the beach sand, four employees used their empowerment funds to purchase metal detectors and searched after hours. By breakfast, they had recovered the ring, demonstrating how empowered employees make the right choices without seeking permission. Most complaining customers simply want acknowledgement, not compensation. Yet employees often respond defensively when an apology could diffuse the situation. Well-handled complaints can actually strengthen customer loyalty. Two contrasting examples. A business professor found a dead mouse in his restaurant coffee mug. When the manager denied it instead of apologizing, the professor sued and publicized the story nationwide. Conversely, when JetBlue faced an operational crisis in 2007, CEO David Neeleman sincerely apologized to customers and employees. Despite the $30 million cost, JetBlue recovered successfully. Ritz-Carlton trains employees to never dismiss complaints, immediately apologize and take personal ownership, use I, not they, ask forgiveness, avoid citing policies, don't showcase expertise when someone is upset, and don't assume compensation is necessary. Most complainants simply seek validation and respect. When problems are addressed with sincere apology and resolution, trust increases beyond pre-problem levels. However, this enhanced loyalty isn't permanent. If the same issue recurs, trust erodes. Each difficulty presents an opportunity to either build or diminish trust. When business leaders view employees merely as function fillers, they dehumanize their workforce. Like Henry Ford, who complained about getting brains whenever he asked for hands, they miss their people's full potential. Many businesses still operate under Taylorism, where few think while many simply do. Instead, we should invite employees to join our vision. We are bent on becoming the best in our category. Is this purpose anything you'd like to join? This approach recognizes employees as humans who respond to motives, not just orders. Before posting job openings, consider what kind of person would thrive in the role. Build success profiles. Doormen who enjoy being outdoors. Housekeepers who naturally like tidying up. This matching dramatically reduces turnover. In our industry, where turnover can reach 120% annually, we reduced ours to 20%, not by paying more, but by matching people to roles that fit their personalities. When employees fail, leaders often blame them. Joe just didn't work out. But who hired Joe? Was he the right fit? With careful selection and thorough training, these situations should be rare. People come to work to contribute to a purpose, as demonstrated by eBay, a Kenyan refugee who started as a dishwasher and rose to become hotel manager of the Ritz-Carlton in Atlanta. Even the most inspiring orientation fades within 24 hours without ongoing reinforcement. Like Coca-Cola spending billions annually despite universal recognition, organizations must continuously reinforce their values. Building great employees requires careful selection, inspiring orientation, initial training, and sustained reinforcement. At Ritz-Carlton, I implemented short stand-up meetings at each shift's start, focusing on one of our 24 service standards. Despite investor concerns about wasting payroll dollars on these 10-minute meetings, I maintained they were among the shift's most important activities. When implementing these at a struggling New York City hotel, I encouraged staff to share success stories. One housekeeper bought a birthday doll for a young guest, while another proactively purchased toothpaste for a guest running low. These gestures transform satisfied customers into loyal ones while empowering employees to use their creativity. The difference between a transactional hotel and a transformational one isn't marble floors or chandeliers. It's the culture of excellence permeating every interaction, deliberately cultivated through continuous reinforcement.